a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny. Welcome to our season premiere of the 1951-1952 season of the Bing Crosby Show. Again, we have great quality sound on these episodes, so I hope you enjoy them all. Tonight's episode features Hoagy Carmichael and Jane Wyman. Hoagy Carmichael is the great, fantastic composer that has composed such standards as Stardust, Georgia on My Mind, just an incredible composer that had a nice long career. Basically, it ended. He started in the 1930s, and his career more or less ended in the 1960s with the coming of the Beatles and the whole difference in the music scene at that point. But, of course, you hear tons of his standards today on albums by, you know, Rod Stewart and who else? Anyway, so many performers now, whether Sting or whatever, have albums of standards that they release. And when you have an album of standards, chances are there's going to be at least one or two Hoagy Carmichael songs on that album. The other person on tonight's show, I said, was Jane Wyman. Jane Wyman, most folks currently would probably recognize her as the matriarch on Falcon Crest, the 1980s kind of answer to Dallas, the nighttime soap opera. And but her career was a tremendously long one, where she starred in some wonderful films, certainly earned an Oscar at least once, and just has this incredible film history. So tonight, Bing is joined by two legends in their own fields. And of course, Bing is a legend in his field as well. And I hope you enjoy tonight's episode, and we'll see you next time for some more Bing Crosby.
Sound off, sound off, sound off for Chesterfield. Bing says it and Godfrey too. Hope and Chrome will follow through. Lester and Allen, they all tell you.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it
today.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Alameda, California, with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra. Judd Collins were the mayors, and Bing's guests, Miss Jane Wyman and Hoagy Carmichael. And now, from the United States Naval Air Station at Alameda, California, we're happy to pipe aboard the groaning gob, Bing Crosby.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank you. Oh, I love this. Isn't this great? Isn't this great, wonderful, man, to be here at the Alameda Naval Air Station, the garden spot of America? Huh?
Oh, this is a beautiful spot.
It's lovely.
It's wonderful. Did you get a big reception, Bing?
Terrific. The moment I arrived, I got a 21 seagull salute.
That must have been a thrill.
Well, I tried to duck it, but I couldn't. Just...
You're just too modest, Bing.
Well, I could. But you know, Ken, I'm right at home here with all these Navy lads.
You are?
Did you know I have a naval background?
No.
Yes, my great-grandfather, Captain Nathaniel Crosby, was captain of a clipper ship that plied between Portland, Oregon, and the Orient.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
But, Bing, you haven't done anything to perpetuate your heritage.
No?
You're not a seafaring man yourself.
What do you mean I'm not a seafaring man? For years, I was chief petty crabcracker at Fisherman's Wharf.
You can hardly call that going to sea.
Well, you can at high tide. I'm as salty as they come, boy.
Bing, have you seen these jet planes up here?
Yes, fortunately, I have very fast eyes.
Golly, when you see one of those jets, don't you feel like getting in and soaring off into the blue?
Nope.
No?
I have nothing against flying, Ken, but I got ground gripper shoes, and I'm going to keep them gripped to the ground.
I think you're just too cautious. Coming up to San Francisco on the train the other night, I remember I saw you climbing into an upper berth and you were wearing a parachute.
Well, that's just because I have weak arches. When I jump out of bed in the morning, I jump.
I still don't see why you're not more air-minded. Why, Bing, before long, people will be able to climb on a rocket ship and fly to the moon. Where would you be?
I'm going to be right here gripping the ground with my ground grippers.
I don't understand this. Why don't you want to go to the moon?
I don't know anybody up there.
I wish you'd show a little more enthusiasm about all this flying stuff. You realize the day will soon be here when a fellow will have a date with his girlfriend and take her for a ride to the moon?
Mm-mm. I don't think the girls are going to go for that.
Why not?
Well, if the guy gets fresh, 30 billion light years is quite a hike home. Ken, how about some music here? That would be nice.
Yeah.
I think we've talked quite... I have a little song titled Row, 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 which should show the lads here the type of Navy work I did when I was a lad. Anchors away, Mr. Trotter. Young Johnny Jones, he had a cute little boat, and all the chickens he would take for a float. He had girlies on the shore, sweet little beaches by the score. But Johnny was a Weisenheimer, you know. His steady girl was Flo. And every Sunday afternoon, she'd jump in his boat and they'd spoon. And then he'd row, row, row. Way up the river he would row, row, row. A hug he'd give her and he'd kiss her now and then. She'd tell him when. They'd fool around and fool around and then they'd kiss again. And then he'd row, row, row. A little further he would row. Oh, 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 oh. Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores. And then he'd row, row, row. Right in his boat he had a cute little seat, and every kiss he stole from Flo was so sweet. And he knew just how to row. He was a rowing Romeo. He knew an island where the trees were so grand. He knew just where to stand. Then tales of love he'd tell to Flo until it was time for them to go. And then he'd row, row, row. Way up the river he would row, row, row. A hug he'd give her and he'd kiss her now and then. She'd tell him when. He'd go around and go around and kiss again. And then he'd row, row, row. A little further he would row, 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 row. Then this clever young dude kicked on that old Evan Rude. And then it row, row, away from the shore. Row, row, row. Friends, every day, thousands and thousands of smokers are doing what I want you to do tonight, or tomorrow for sure. They're changing to Chesterfield because Chesterfield gives them something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Now, you folks who smoke Chesterfields know all about that mildness. You people who haven't tried them, listen to what the men who grow tobacco say.
1,562 prominent tobacco growers say Chesterfields are milder. Chesterfields have a milder aroma that tips you off in advance that Chesterfields smoke milder.
Yes, sir, they're milder and they leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
One of the world's greatest industrial research organizations reported that Chesterfield is the only cigarette of all brands smoked and examined that leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
So next time you buy cigarettes, folks, try Chesterfield's. Get something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Get all the pleasure there is while you smoke and the pleasure of no unpleasant aftertaste. Take a tip from Brother Bing, sound off for Chesterfield's. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce one of the finest all-round talents in our business, show business. Aside from being one of the country's top composers, this gentleman has also ascended to the pinnacle of success as a musician, as a motion picture star, a top-flight recording artist. Yet with all this, he still remains one of the most modest persons in the entertainment world. Here now, Mr. Hoagy Carmichael.
Maggie, thank you. And thank you, Bing, for that wonderful introduction.
Really?
Yeah. You know, most people can't read my writing.
Very fast eyes. I have 20... Say, you know something, Hoagy? I haven't seen you for ages.
No.
I don't believe I've seen you since you were in that smoky nightclub in Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart.
That's right. Well, I made a lot of pictures like that since, Bing. And in every picture, I'm sitting there playing the piano and somebody near me gets shot.
Yeah.
It sort of makes me wonder.
Well, just keep out of the crossfire, kid.
Yeah.
After all these years, some people may be just a little bit tired of stardust, you know.
Uh-uh. Never bores me. Bread and butter, boy.
Bread and butter, that's cake. Say, what's cooking picture-wise right now, Hoagy?
Oh, I'm in a little picture of 20th Century Fox called Bells on Their Toes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about a family with 12 children. Have you heard about it?
Oh, yes. They wanted me for technical advisor, but...
Well, I can handle that, Bing. You know, I came from a big family myself.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were 10 of us kids.
Really?
Got so when Pop come home from work at night, he was afraid to say, what's new?
He just counted heads and kept his mouth shut, huh?
Yeah. What a time we had. I was the youngest, so I had to wear the clothes that the other kids grew out of, you know. And it was embarrassing.
How do you mean, embarrassing?
I had 9 sisters.
Murder, boy.
Yeah, I was the only boy in town who had to lift his skirts to slide into second base.
Well... Hoagy, I don't want you to think that, that this reminiscing hasn't been charming, but I think you should dig into your very large repertoire of hit numbers, the things that you've written and been associated with. I think you should lift your mellow voice and song here.
No, right. I guess it ought to be Buttermilk Sky.
Buttermilk Sky is good enough for mine.
Yeah. Buttermilk Sky, I'm keeping my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, Buttermilk Sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, Buttermilk Sky, I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight, keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, Buttermilk Sky, don't you tell me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post, hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try, don't you tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky. Buttermilk sky, I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight, keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post, hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try, don't you tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky. Buttermilk sky. Oh, buttermilk sky. Oh, buttermilk sky.
That's the Indiana boy. He's wonderful, isn't he? Now, lads, we move along for a moment to the glamour department as we present one of Hollywood's loveliest, most talented, most beautiful stars, Miss Jane Wyman.
Hello, boys. Oh, Bing, may I thank you for that lovely introduction?
Oh, no thanks necessary, Janie. I just can't help saying nice things about you. You bring out the poet in me. When I'm around you, my heart goes pity-pat. Honestly, you really rev me up.
Why, Bing, how you've changed. Did they give you an overhaul job here this afternoon?
No, I tried to get pumped up, but they put me out with the mothball fleet down there. Jane, you shouldn't be surprised at my attitude. After all, we worked together for 3 months making Here Comes the Groom. You remember when we went into that clinch at the end of the picture? I held you in my arms and kissed you.
I blacked out.
Oh, that's right. I had to throw a bucket full of water on you.
You didn't have to, but you did, you joker.
Well, I was excited, too, you know.
Bing.
Hmm?
Do you mean to say that I'm the only girl that's ever fainted when you kissed her?
No, it happened once before. First time I ever kissed Dixie.
And she fainted?
Yeah, a mouse jumped out of my curls.
What was a mouse doing on your head?
Well, I was too poor then to buy a wig. The mouse, though, actually, the mouse worked out fine.
I'll bet its little tail made the cutest spit curl.
Spit curls were very fashionable then, too. Besides that, mine moved back and forth across my forehead like a windshield wiper. Only kid in town that had one of those.
And when you sang, it kept time for you like a metronome.
Oh, and this mouse had a terrific beat.
Golly, whatever happened to that mouse, babe?
Well, we got into a big argument over billing, and he left me. He went into pictures. Good old Mickey. I'll never forget him.
Oh, that was Mickey Mouse.
No, Mickey Rooney.
Imagine that.
Well, we just did. Where were you?
I left.
You know, Jane, speaking of pictures, I'm really quite thrilled. This is really a great bit of news that I got today, that you and I are starting a new picture at Paramount next week, huh?
Say, Bing, I'd like to ask your advice about something.
Certainly.
I have another picture offer after I finish this one with you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Bob Hope wants me to do a picture with him.
Oh, Flabby has finally flushed you, huh? He's had dead aim, you know.
Aren't you surprised, Bing?
Not at all. I'm not surprised. It figures. You make a couple of pictures with me, so now he wants to grab you. That boy copies everything I do.
No.
Yes. Why, he even tried to adopt Gary Cooper, just so his oldest boy would have the same name as mine.
Bing, getting back to my problem, shall I make a picture with Bob?
I would say yes. Yes, Jane. Definitely yes. That's if you want to throw your career right in the ash can.
You and Bob rib each other a lot, but I happen to know that the two of you are best of friends. You're crazy about him, and he's crazy about you.
Do you have another exclusive, Luella?
Say, is it true that you and Bob are in the oil business together?
That's right. He wipes the windshields. I man the pumps.
A gas station.
Yeah, quite a spot, Janie. We give great service, too.
How can it be great? You're both too old to bend down and check tires.
We can bend down, all right, but is murder getting up? Now, Jane, I don't care what you say about Bob, but I thought you were a friend of mine. You shouldn't say anything like that about me, about my hardening arteries or anything. Why don't you watch
But it? I am a friend of yours.
You don't sound like
Well, in fact, I've always been a fan of yours. Oh, I'll never forget when I was a little girl back in St. Joe.
St. Joe Mo?
St. Joe Mo.
Oh, boy.
Little cold winter nights, we'd huddle around the fire, and Grandpa would wind up the phonograph, and we'd put one of your records on.
On the phonograph?
On the fire.
I was always hot in St. Joe. Anyhow, Jane, as soon as you get back to Hollywood, I want you to drop in on our filling station. Come see us.
Not me.
Oh, come on.
Mm-mm. A friend of mine went into your station, had his tank filled, and before he had driven a block, he was out of gas.
Well, once in a while, we pull a sort of a... pull a gag on a customer, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I pump a tank full of gas, and while I'm singing this customer a song, Hope siphons it out with his nose. Never run out of gas that way. We're low.
Do you boys change oil, too?
Yes, and we're both about due.
Well, I hope it's not too late. I hope it's not too late.
Me, too. But now, Jane, how about singing a song? You know, we got a song that we did in the picture, that Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening, which just happens to be from Here Comes the Groom.
Well, I might just run through it with you.
Well, please do. John Scott.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
tell them I'll be there.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
save your pappy a chair. When the party's getting the glow on, singing fills the air. In the shank of the night, when they're doing the right, well, you can tell them I'll be there.
I'd like a barbecue.
I'd like to boil a ham.
And I bowl for bouillabaisse stew.
I'd like a wiener baked steak and a layer cake.
You'll get a tummy ache, too.
And my bicycle, we'll rent a tent or a teepee. Let the town crier cry.
All's well.
And if it's RSVP, this is what I'll reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell them we'll be there. If you need a pair of freeloaders to fracture your affair, I may give them Pagliacci.
No, stand back and give him air.
Please, Matty O'Crosby. Anyone can relax and we'll have a few yaks.
And you can tell them we'll be there.
We said bumblebee, now let's have a jubilee. When said the prairie hen, soon?
Sure said the dinosaur. Where said the grizzly bear? Under the light of the moon.
How about your brother Jackass? Everyone gaily cried. Are you coming to the frackers?
Ain't gonna blow it.
And over his specs he sighed.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell him I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, slick him on my head. If perchance we look a bit peaked, remember, sail again. If we're still on our feet and there's something to eat, well, you can tell them we'll be there.
Here
better save a chair.
When the party's getting a glow on and singing fills the air.
Well, if there's gas in my hack and my laundry's back,
and if there's room for one more and you need me,
why, sure.
If you need a new face or a tenor or bass,
if I can climb out of bed and put a head on my head,
well, you can tell I'm, we'll be there.
Oh, that was wonderful, Jane.
It sure was, Janie.
Well, hi, Hoagie.
Yeah.
You know, that's a mighty fine tune that you and Johnny Mercer came up with.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, you know, just sitting there listening to it, I think we left something out.
That seems fairly complete to me. You got a great party atmosphere. You got the food, the refreshments. Everybody's singing. Everybody's winging. What's missing?
What's missing?
Yeah.
Well, Bing, you know, no party is complete without a few cartons of those milder Chesterfields draped around the drawing room.
Golly, why didn't I think of that?
Don't worry. You know, Bing, I'm always glad to do what I can do to help you keep your job.
You're an absolute doll. And since you're so nice, how about you and Janie giving us a hand with this ditty, this sound off for Chesterfield?
I'm with you.
Here we go.
Chesterfield is something new. No other brand can offer you. Mildness plus no aftertaste. No unpleasant aftertaste. Yes, science discovered what you can prove. You'd better get into the smoking groove with no unpleasant aftertaste. Chesterfield.
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 Milder, 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 milder Chesterfield.
That's right.
Okay, Jane and Hoagie, you sound off for Chesterfield.
Chesterfield is a smoke for me. I always remember to ABC.
Chesterfield is my smoke too, and this is what I always do.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Sound off
for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields to do it
today.
Here's a nice song. It's a new song, too. Or at least it's new to me. Of course, I'm fresh out of the hills. Still got foxtails in my hair and everything.
There was a girl. There was a boy. If they had met, they might have found a world of joy. But she lived on the mountain side of the mountain, and he lived on the twilight side of the hill. They never met, and they never kissed, and they will never know what happiness they missed. For she lived on the morning side of the mountain, and he lived on the twilight side of the hill. For love's a rose that never grows without the kiss of the morning dew. And every Jack must have a Jill to know the thrill of a dream that comes true. And you and I are just like they. For all we know, our love is just a kiss away. For you are on the morning side of the mountain, and I am on the twilight side of the hill.
For love's a rose that never grows without the kiss of the morning dew, and every
Jolly Jack must have a Jew. You know the thrill of a dream that comes true.
And you and I are just like they. For all we know, our love is just a kiss away. And you are on the morning side of the mountain, and I am on the twilight side of the hill.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, represents the closer for this evening's little rotomontade. Now, our thanks to all here at Rotomontade. You want to do anything about that? And now, our thanks to all here at the United States Naval Air Station for a very, very pleasant visit. Greetings, too, to the Navy Marine veterans in the audience from the Oak Knoll Naval Hospital. Thanks, fellas. And thanks also to Hoagie Carmichael. Say, Janie, thanks ever so, for being with us.
Well, I loved it.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And before I go, could I have your home address in Los Angeles? My daughter, Maureen, wants to write for an autographed picture.
Well, just give me your address. I'll mail it to you. How do you want it autographed?
To Maureen, with love.
With love?
From Gary.
Okay, I'll handle it for Maureen. Well, that's about it, folks. Meanwhile, I want you to go out and get a carton of Chesterfields. Get Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Only Chesterfield has it. So next time...
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Sound off for Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields to
do it.
Today!
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed at the United States Naval Air Station, Alameda, California, by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Miss Jane Wyman and Bill Thompson.
Transcribed. Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads inaugurates a new fall season with the great Rodgers and Hammerstein musical success, State Fair, starring Gordon McRae and his guest from the Metropolitan Opera, Dorothy Kirsten. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another thrilling musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Mama Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, sir, our show train is loaded with melody and magic by Rodgers and Hammerstein. When you add some high C's by lovely Dorothy Kirsten, well, we think that's something to shout about. What do you say, everybody? Where are we bound for?
The State Fair!
Our state.
state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late.
Carry this mincemeat out to the car. Oh, do you think I got a chance for first prize this year, Abel?
If I was the judge, you'd get it.
Abel, what's that in your pocket?
Now, Mo.
Oh, you haven't been using my best hairbrush on that hog.
Blue Boy's no hog. He's a prize Hampshire boar, and he's gonna win the blue ribbon at the state fair.
Oh, Margie, is that you?
Yes, Ma. It's me.
Don't you feel good, child?
I'm all right, I guess. I don't really know what's wrong with me. I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I have spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't? I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on a wing. But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well.
She needs, Ma, sulfur and molasses.
Oh, Pa.
I know what'll fix her up. 3 days at the state fair.
Gee, I never saw so many people.
I'm gonna put Blue Boy in his pen. Come on, Blue Boy. Come on.
Can I go to the Midway Mall?
Yes, just don't be too late getting back, Margie.
All right, step right up, get your tickets for the most thrilling roller coaster ride in the world. Hurry, hurry.
What's
the matter, Bobby Locks? Haven't you got the money for a ride?
Oh, sure, but I'm afraid of the roller coaster.
Oh, come on, we'll ride it together. Climb aboard, Bobby Locks.
But I don't even know your name.
I'm Pat Gilbert. There, now our old friend.
But
hang on, but here we go.
Here comes the big one.
Ah, How'd you like it?
Oh, I'm glad you were there to hang on to.
Practically pulled the lapels off my coat, Bobby Locke.
Why do you call me Bobby Locke?
Because when you walk, your hair bounces up and down on the back of your neck.
Everybody's hair bounces up and down.
Oh, mine doesn't.
I mean girls.
You know, it's a funny thing. All these people around here, Bobby Locke, and I can only see one girl.
Now, Mr. Gilbert.
Oh, now, please. You got to call me Pat. Look, I made a mistake. This isn't a good night for roller coaster rides at all. You know what?
It's a grand night for singing. The moon is flying high. Somewhere a bird who is found, he'll be heard, is throwing his heart at the sky.
It's a grand night for singing. The stars are bright above. The earth is aglowing to add to the show. I think I am falling in love.
More than the moon.
Maybe it's more than the birds.
Maybe it's more than the sight of the night in a light too lovely for words.
Maybe it's more than the earth
shining in silvery blue.
Maybe the reason I'm feeling this way has something to do with you.
What are you afraid of?
Well, we really don't know very much about each other.
Well, then maybe we should find out. What's your name?
Margie. Margie Brake. I live on a farm with my folks. How about you?
Oh, I'm just a reporter on the local paper. But I'll be a columnist someday with my own byline. Yes, sirree. Any day now, I'm expecting a call from a big paper in Chicago.
That'll be wonderful.
Oh, Margie. Is that you?
Yes, Ma. I'll be right in.
This where you're staying?
We're sort of camping out in a trailer.
See you again.
Well, I...
Or do you want to say let's break it up?
Oh, no. I mean, do you?
Oh, look. Anytime I want to throw in the sponge, you'll know it. I just won't be around. But we're going to have some high old times together, Bobby Locke.
How do you know?
Why, I could tell from the very first time I got a look at you.
I saw you standing in the sun, and you were something to see. I know what I like, and I liked what I saw, and I said to myself, that's for me. You wanted to talk, and I nodded my head as I breathlessly said, that's for me. adventures are through.
There's nothing for me but the dream in my heart.
And the dream in my heart.
Return with the second act of State Fair in just a moment. We all know how important distance-conquering devices like the telephone, the telegraph, and radio are in daily living. In no less degree, facilities for instant communication between far distant points play a vital role in the daily work of our railroads. For railroads are not an industry surrounded by walls, but a complex network of rails and facilities extending into every section of the country, and manned by well over 1.25 million employees. Knitting this far-flung system of trains, terminals, yards, offices, and shops into one smooth working whole calls for a comprehensive, ever-operating communication service on every railroad, one of the most extensive installations of the sort in any industry. Through the use of telegraph, teletype, telephone, radio, microwave, and many modern electronic marvels, constantly sending and receiving directives and information, railroad men are able to speed freight cars to loading docks, to assemble them into trains, and to clear the tracks for swift through travel. In short, to do more rapidly and with greater safety, all the things required to give our nation an unmatched mass transportation service. Since the first telegraphic train order was transmitted 100 years ago, shortly after the invention of the telegraph, the railroads have been among the first to install new and better means of communication. This process continues with quickened pace today. And one of the ways is through the efforts of railroad men who are always working to devise new methods of communicating and to improve existing ones. This week, members of the communications section of the Association of American Railroads, men from both the United States and Canada, are meeting in Quebec to exchange ideas and experiences in connection with their vital work. From sessions like this come better communications, all part of the endless effort of the railroads to achieve even greater efficiency and safety in operations. We continue with the Lawrence and Lee version of Rodgers and Hammerstein's State Fair, starring Gordon McRae and his charming guest, Dorothy Kirsten.
You know, a funny thing happens when you meet a girl who really knocks you off your feet. You can't help wondering why it is that you have spring fever.
When it is even spring, I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a girl I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing. But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring.
Well, Bobby Locks, what are you going to do when the fair's over?
Oh, go back home, I guess, and maybe get married.
Well, you aren't engaged, are you?
There's a boy I've been going with for a long time. Think you'll ever get married, Pat?
Well, me? Sometimes, I guess, but, you know, things like this, like us, you got to keep them from getting too serious.
You're absolutely right, Pat.
Maybe you'll never be the love of my life. Maybe I'm not the girl of your dreams.
But isn't it kind of fun to look in each other's eyes, swapping romantic dreams?
Maybe I'm not a girl to hold and to have. Maybe you're not a boy who would stay.
But isn't it kind of fun carousing around the town, dancing the nights away? And isn't it kind of fun holding hands,
according to a sweet and corny custom?
Isn't it kind of fun making vows,
admitting that we both intend to bust them? Maybe we're out for laughs, a girl and a boy, getting across the table for two.
But haven't you got a hunch that this is the real McCoy?
And all the things we tell each other are true.
Hey, isn't it almost time for judging your father's hog?
And Ma's mincemeat. Come on, Pat. We've got to get over there to the judging stand.
Attention, please. We now have the judging of Hampshire Boars, Grand Championship Class.
Come on, Blue Boy. Get up.
Oh, he's just lying there on his side. Is he sick?
Love sick. That's his trouble. Blue Boy got mighty sweet on a sow in the pen next to his. Now she ain't around and he's carrying the torch.
Here come the judges. You gotta do something, Paul.
Hey, Blue Boy. Look, there's your lady friend. That's the spirit, Blue Boy. Look proud. No hog on 4 feet can beat you now.
Frank, I'm so nervous.
Now, Mother.
After you and Blue Boy walking off with all those blue ribbons, my cooking has to get at least an honorable mention.
We know you're the best cook in the world, Ma, even if those old judges don't.
Quiet, please. First prize for sweet pickles goes to Mrs. Edwin Metcalf of Pottsville.
Oh, that old Mrs. Metcalf got all the prizes. Well, come on, Abel, let's go.
And now the Distinguished Achievement Award.
Wait a minute, Melissa.
Don't go yet, Ma.
The judges vote unanimously to give that award to a lady who has concocted the most delicious mincemeat...
Mincemeat.
...ever entered in a state fair. Mrs. Melissa Frank of Brunswick.
Oh, no. Ma, aren't you proud?
Well, it's enough for me that my family likes my cooking. But if it's the best in Iowa, oh, dear, I think I'm going to cry.
Pat, did you hear who won all the prizes?
Oh, you mean your Ma?
I'm so proud and grateful, I just don't know what to do.
Well, you'd better tip your hat to the state you live in, that's what.
Oh, I know all I owe, I owe, I owe. I owe Iowa all I owe, and I know why.
I am Iowa born and bred, and I'm Iowa corn and fed, not to mention her barley, wheat, and rye.
I owe Iowa for her ham, and her beef, and her lamb, and her strawberry jam, and her pie.
I owe Iowa more than I can ever pay.
moved to California. What a shame, what a shame. You'll be good and gosh darn sorry when you go. When you leave your native state, you'll be feeling far from great. You'll be good and gosh darn sorry when you go.
I'm a seed of Iowa grain.
You're a breeze in Iowa blue.
I'm a drop of Iowa rain.
You're a drip of Iowa dew.
Oh, I know all I owe, I owe Iowa. And I owe Iowa all I know.
I am Iowa born and bred, and on Iowa corn I'm fed. Not to mention her barley, wheat, and rye.
Cup I'd like to stay. Then stay, then stay. You'll be good and gosh darn happy if you do. If old Iowa is my home, I'm a fool who on a roam, cause there can't be any better home for me.
Will I see you tonight, Bobby Locks?
If you want to.
I'll meet you by the Calliope in front of the roller coaster. 8 o'clock.
I'll be there.
Margie!
Hello, Pa.
Why, we've been looking all over for you.
I was supposed to meet somebody. He promised faithfully he'd be right here by the roller coaster.
Well, everybody's going home now, baby. The fair's over. Oh, he must have just forgotten.
Yes, I guess that's it, Pa. That must have been what had happened.
Look, Bobby Locks, anytime I want to throw in the sponge, you'll know it. I just won't be around.
Pa, please take me home.
Whatever is the matter with that girl, Abel? She hasn't been the same since we came back from the fair.
Mo, I got a feeling that Margie's suffering from the same ailment Blue Boy had.
Paul, do you think that young reporter fellow...
Hogs are people. The love bug bites them all, sooner or later. There goes the telephone.
Oh, Margie, will you answer it?
All right, Ma. Frakes residence.
Margie? Is that you?
Pat, where are you calling from?
You gotta forgive me, Bobby Locks. I got that Chicago job.
Is that where you're calling from, Chicago?
No, I'm right here in town. I came to ask if you'd marry me.
Oh, Pat, I can't believe it.
You don't have to believe it. Just say you love me.
Oh, I do, Pat. I do.
I'll be pulling in your driveway in 3 minutes.
Hurry, hurry. Ma, Pa! I'm going to get married.
What?
Before supper?
If you'll have me. Gee, do you realize what's happened? I got the best prize in the whole state fair.
It's a grand night for singing. The moon is flying high. And somewhere a bird is now newly heard. He's throwing his heart at the sky.
Dorothy Kirsten will be back in just a moment. Our thanks to Paula Winslow, Griff Barnett, Jerry Hausner, Carlton Young, and our entire company. State Fair by Rodgers and Hammerstein was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee and presented by a special arrangement with 20th Century Fox, producers of the Technicolor production Golden Girl, starring Mitzi Gaynor, Dale Robertson, and Dennis Day.
The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. You know, there's a lot of talk about high prices at my house these days, and friends sometimes ask me if railroad freight rates play an important part. Now, that's one question I know something about, and I can tell you this. Railroad freight rates are the caboose on the train of rising prices, the tag end that's inevitably pulled along by the rest of the train. As a well-known business publication said recently, don't blame the cost of carrying freight for boosting prices. It just isn't so.
It's just wonderful being back aboard the show train, Gordon.
Well, Dorothy, we're certainly glad to have you out here on the West Coast with the San Francisco Opera. And here's an engraved invitation to be with us for 6 weeks in the months of October and November for such wonderful shows as the Opera Martha, Cole Porter's Jubilee, Rudolph Frimmel's Rosemary, the lovely opera Bohemian Girl, plus Holiday Inn, and Mademoiselle Modiste.
Invitation accepted, Gordon. They sound like exciting shows.
Well, we learned something from that champ Blue Boy, Dorothy. While you're starring with the San Francisco Opera, we're going to hog you.
Oh, Gordon, you say the most wonderful things. What's on the show train next week?
The lovely operetta Madame Sherry, Dorothy, and the lovely Nadine Connor will be our guests.
We'll all be listening.
And Dorothy will see you 2 weeks from tonight.
It's a date, Blue Boy.
Thank you. All aboard.
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next Monday night, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye.
Gordon McRae can be seen in Warner Brothers on Moonlight Bay. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Proceeding was transcribed. It's the Telephone Hour next with famed pianist Jose Iturbe on NBC.